Welcome back to the Christian Life Podcast, where we have good conversations for practical Christian living. We are your hosts, Michael Brazier, and sitting across from me is Art Nurnberg. And today we are going to be talking about God's faithfulness. So let's begin with, what does faithfulness mean? Like, when the Bible uses the phrase God's faithfulness in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, what is it referring to?
Okay, that's a good question, because all of the life of faith depends on the faithfulness of God. Faith has no meaning apart from who God is and what He is. So the understanding what it means that He's faithful is key to that whole idea. So faithfulness, what does it involve? On the one side, there's two concepts really in it. One side is that He's absolutely consistent, so that we can count on His word. He doesn't change. He is always the same. God is always exactly what He was. He'll be today what He was yesterday. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's faithfulness, that He is consistent in that, that you can count on Him. And that's a big part of it. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But there is another side, because a person could be totally consistent and be also a rotten person.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have someone who lied to you. You knew everything they ever said to you was a lie. You could count on it that it was not true. But that doesn't make them faithful. All right. The concept of faithfulness involves the consistency and involves the fact that I can count on them. But it also involves the idea that God is good, that His consistency is a consistent good. And that's the way it's presented in the Word of God with regards to individuals, that God is good. So that even if you take it like the Old Testament, I personally, again, I had responsibility to teach Old Testament survey for 40 years. People say, why is it even there? Why are we doing this? We want to study about the Lord, and why is it in there? Well, there's a lot of different answers you can give to that question, but one of them is we have to find out about the faithfulness of God if we're going to trust Him. It's easy to look at the Old Testament and see all of the failures that take place during the Old Testament, one person after another. You get even the greatest saints of the Old Testament, Abraham, the father of those that have faith, and yet he lies and is coward at a particular point. You got David, with whom God made a covenant that he would have an heir on the throne forever, and David's a murderer and an adulterer. Moses, the great leader of the nation, he murdered a man. These are men who knew God, but they failed. You can look at the Old Testament and say it's a long history of failure. Well, it's not just a long history of failure. It's the history of a God who had a plan, who completed that plan despite those failures, so that even in the worst moments of the Old Testament. Personally, I think that the lowest moment of the Old Testament was after the people had been taken captive in Babylon. And Jeremiah is looking at it, and he kind of sums up the way the Old Testament presents things. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope, that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, that His mercies never come to an end. Great is His faithfulness.
Yeah.
He's going to do what He wants to do. So, particularly in the Old Testament, that's where the faithfulness comes. It's His consistency to be good.
Okay. And God is, like, I was reading an article about that, and someone said in that article, and I don't know where the article was from, so I can't, it's not an exact quote, but it said, God is always willing to begin anew with those who repent. And they were kind of giving a commentary on Lamentations, where Jeremiah was recounting that His mercies are new every morning. And so that His faithfulness is demonstrated with His ability to both forgive, but then also to extend mercy, and then continue His steadfast love, His plan in their life.
Right.
So,
amen.
Anyways,
that's the way it comes out, because He has a plan He's going to carry out.
Yeah.
If we'll just identify with that plan, He's going to carry it out.
Yeah.
So that makes it possible for us to come. Part of that plan is that He will make it possible for us to come back. And a lot of the description of faithfulness, and particularly in the New Testament, has to do with him fulfilling that plan. Faithful is the one who called you, who also will perform it. He called you into the kingdom. He's going to finish that job. God is faithful by whom we've been called into fellowship with his son. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful to fulfill his plan.
So in the Old Testament, you see God's faithfulness, like continued failure to meet God's expectation and repeated stories, and yet God's faithfulness to Israel and God's faithfulness to his covenant people and his plan to develop that and throughout the Old Testament. And then you have the New Testament, and it's similar, but Jesus is now on the scene and the Messiah has come. And so what does faithfulness, like God's faithfulness, look like in the New Testament and then to like the church?
Okay. And it goes along those lines that the plan he had at the very beginning is going to be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Right? He made the covenant with Abraham, Moses, David, all these different men.
Yeah.
And they describe where he's going. He's going to go there. That's why in the Old Testament he could predict the events of Jesus' life, not because he just knew, because he planned it.
Yeah.
This whole program was his program. He was faithful to that. When we see that as the church, and we have seen the fulfillment of that in the person of Jesus Christ, we now have we should have a deeper confidence in that fact that the plan will be fulfilled. And that's what not only faith, but all of our hope rests on. Why do I hope that Jesus will come again when there's no real sign that he's coming again?
Yeah.
I do it because every time we trusted God, every time we see things in the past that he promised, he'll bring it to pass. So hope rests on that same faithfulness, again, that the plan that he has will be completed so that I can ask for forgiveness because that helps the plan to be forgiven. I can trust him to keep me in fellowship because the plan has to be fulfilled, that program. And anyway, down those lines.
So God's faithfulness is displayed in his plan and the way in which he communicated that. And we can look back on his faithfulness throughout the ages.
Yeah.
So interesting. Okay. So when trying to think of where we want to go next. I guess we'll go here. How does a person learn to count on God's faithfulness in their life practically? What do they do?
Okay. Kind of different elements of that. We're human beings.
Yeah.
Okay. We have relationships, and that you can't, the same way that you and I have a relationship, we have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I can't count on you unless I know you.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of my getting into that place is coming to a place where I begin to know the person. Now, how do I know? That's one of the reasons we read the Bible.
Yeah.
We listen to what it says. We see what God did year after year. And then we come into an understanding of what's there. You can't trust somebody you don't know. You have to, at least if you're not crazy.
Yeah.
You could trust somebody you don't know. But that would be sort of a silly thing. You have to trust him as you know him. So your goal is to get to know him. So first thing, you're going to know him through the word.
Yeah.
All right. And then you're going to know him by trusting him, what he says in the word, counting on him to bring it to pass. Counting on that faithfulness. And that's a big part of what the Bible encourages us to do, is to count on the faithfulness. Again, thinking about it, when it says that Jesus on that night in the upper room with his disciples, went out, and they says before they went out, they sang a hymn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We don't know for sure what that is, but it's most likely that that was the completion of the singing of certain psalms that were sung every year at the Passover. And it concludes with Psalm 118. Mm-hmm. And Psalm 118 is the one where it speaks about Jesus, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. But that psalm begins and ends with this thought, and I think it's the summation of the Old Testament. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, and his mercy endures forever, which is just a description of faithfulness. It starts with that. It finishes with that. kind of that psalm kind of sums up the Old Testament and where it was heading to in the New Testament. So one of the ways we do it is by recounting when God's been faithful.
So we read the word. So a person can read the word of God and grow in their ability to trust the word of God and trust God through that because they're developing a relationship. And then by recounting, what about in prayer? Does prayer come into that?
Yeah, I think the prayer does because it's in the act of trusting God. After we hear it, then we appropriate it in our lives. We count on that.
Yeah.
Okay, and as we count on that, then we pray and we begin to see God take action. Just another part of we have to understand what it says about God's faithfulness, but then we have to look for that.
Yeah.
You've been at the school, you know, one of my favorite hymns or psalms is Psalm 92. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High, to remember his loving kindness every morning. As I start into a morning and into a day, remember, out ahead of me is the loving kindness of the Lord. But then it says this, and his faithfulness every night. So it's in looking at how God actually did fulfill his faithfulness to me that I then grow in my understanding. I begin to trust him because I've proved that he is faithful, that he did what he said he would do.
Yeah.
And when I see it on one count, then I can appropriate that in other counts.
Interesting. So how do you, for people who maybe are struggling in their life with like a really big situation, maybe a death or a loss or something like that, how can they learn to count on God's faithfulness, even in the midst of like really difficult circumstances in their life? Or like, yeah,
okay.
Let's go with that question.
Yeah. Okay. What's a difficult one? That's a difficult.
Yeah.
Because
it's easy to reflect on God's faithfulness when things are being fulfilled and things are going well. And it's comforting to think of God's faithfulness when it's difficult. But like, how does it actually practically take root in our lives and like can encourage us or build our faith, our personal trust in God?
Okay. I think that the key there is that it's in the remembering every day is faithfulness, that you prepare yourself for the times when the pressure's on, that you're going to count on God being the same to you when the pressure's on as before the pressure's on. That's why it's sometimes difficult for a person who hasn't been in the habit of looking at the faithfulness of God to suddenly believe that in the middle of circumstance which don't speak about the faithfulness of God, they speak about pain or difficulty, to then suddenly come to an understanding that, oh, well, is God faithful here? You should remind yourself he is, but it's not as easy as living a life where you are on a consistent basis counting on the faithfulness of God.
So that consistency develops a pattern. So when it does get difficult and your life is difficult for whatever reason, you can go back to those times where you remember, like, you know, God was faithful here and here and here and here. And even if you maybe don't have those personal experiences, you could have those from the word of God or from testimony of other people that God is faithful to them. And so he can be faithful to me because it's who he is. So he's consistent. Do you think it's not a sin, but is it bad? Obviously it's bad, but like doubting God's faithfulness, how do you overcome that? Or can you doubt God's faithfulness? Should you doubt God's faithfulness?
No.
Okay.
Well, you know, from my experience or from being around that there are some bedrock truths you have to hold on to.
Yeah.
If you shake here, you shake everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of them is God is faithful.
Yeah.
You have to start there. You can count on him. When I open that word, what he says, I can count on him on that. When he, you have to have it. If that starts to shake, you have no foundation at all.
Yeah.
Because everything got to rest on how is God responding to his word? Okay, here's what it says in the word. But if you don't count on the fact that God cares about that, is involved in that, and is involved with you, then you're in no man's land now.
Yeah.
Because, how can you sell that out? So No, the faithfulness of God is just, it is a foundational thing. Just like for a Christian, the truth of justification and the love of God towards me is a foundational thing, which I cannot move from.
Yeah.
I can't go around asking questions about whether he loves me.
Yeah.
You're stealing your foundation.
Yeah. Because these are bedrock. These are the.
You may not feel that at a moment.
Yeah.
You may not understand it at a moment, but it's true. And you, even in your wondering about how it's true, you can never
deviate from that it is true.
That it is true, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. So, in your own life, how have you seen God faithful?
Well, I think what happens for people, you know, in this is in getting to know God, is that God puts us in circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He teaches us what the Word of God says. We learn the Word of God. We see what the promises that He makes. And then He allows us to go through circumstances which enable us to prove that that's true. Mm-hmm. Right. So that, and that's one thing after another, difficulties that you face. And this is in learning the faithfulness of God. And I think this is one of the key things we need to be cautious about. There's a lot of stories, and I could tell some, but I'm not going to, of times when an immediate need, a big problem was there. You call on God, He answers it immediately.
Yeah.
That happens sometimes. But that's not typically the best way to learn the faithfulness of God. Hmm. I think the faithfulness of God is learned by trusting Him day after day after day after day after day, and seeing as I look back at my life that He has provided, He's done everything He said.
Yeah.
Because it's too easy if He puts me on a test for me to have a sense that I need this thing, I need Him to do this, I pray and He doesn't do it. Mm. And then you get back to, if you're not careful to what you were saying before, you begin to wonder, is God faithful?
Yeah. And then you erode away at your foundation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is that God is faithful.
Yeah.
And so
you have to go there. So, I mean, just take for an instance, all right, there was a point of time, which I tell people about a lot, it was a pressured moment for me, all right, mm-hmm. because God put you in pressure. I had become the director of the Institute. We were going through a rough time. You can tell how rough it was. I was the director, so you can tell we were in a rough place. But nevertheless, financially, we were back to the wall.
Yeah.
And my wife was taking care of the books at the time, and I'm a coward when it comes to finances. I can't look at the books every day. So she said, you just tell me when we're out.
Yeah. Right?
Well, she came to me one day and said, you know what? We're not out, but we're in double figures. And I had to feed all the kids. I mean, they have to be fed. School's going.
Yeah,
this is very embarrassing. There's going to be electric bills. There's going to be water bills. There's going to be food bills. And they're all coming up on a regular basis. Okay. I don't know how we got out of that mess. Hmm. Because I'm not the kind of person that can look at the thing and say, oh, and then Lord gave this much money, because I'm too big a coward for that. But when I was thinking about it, I was being tested. And the Lord just spoke to me. This is, again, it's these thoughts, however you want to think. I thought us through this way. Everybody had what they needed today, right? Mm-hmm. That's what the Bible says. If we have food and covering today, it became an important verse, then with that we ought to be content.
Mm-hmm.
And so so I just came to the conclusion at that point that I would just keep on going until we couldn't say we had been fed and clothed, fed and covered, you know, kept protected. And we're here today.
Yeah.
Now that's, to me, is how you learn the faithfulness of God. How did it happen? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Because then if you look at the details of how it happened, you could begin to think, well, this person supplied that money, or this guy sent a special check. No, mm-hmm. God took care of us. He got it through. All right.
Yeah.
But it was an uncomfortable ride. But that's because the human heart wants to do anything but trust God.
Yeah.
It just really doesn't want to trust God. It wants to trust itself. And so the experience of coming from trusting yourself to really trusting God is painful.
Hmm.
because you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in the place.
Yeah.
I've said many times, everybody wants to look back at the Red Sea, but nobody wants to go to the Red Sea.
You know, no one wants to go to it or go through it. They just want to look back at it.
They want to look back and say we were there, but they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Because, and I'm with them.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in that place, but it's in those places over a consistent period that you begin to realize, you know, God does keep us. Mm. He does protect us. And, He provides, and not because we're great. This is the whole point of faithfulness. It's because He has a plan.
Yeah.
And He's carrying out that plan.
Yeah. When I was working through this, I was thinking back on Psalm 37, because it's like one of my favorite Psalms. Mm-hmm. And in it, it's like all about crisis and confusion and this moment in the psalmist's life, which is David. And in it, halfway through, he says, like, the phrase goes, "For the Lord loves justice and He'll never forsake His saints," but it's looking back on God's faithfulness.
Right.
And then at the very beginning of the psalm, it gives like descriptions on what the psalmist is to do in that moment of crisis. It like paints a terrible picture, but they all go back to like sitting before God, waiting for God, trusting in the Lord, committing your ways to the Lord. Don't be afraid. But it all goes back to just waiting on Him and being still before Him. And so like, when God's faithfulness is displayed often through trusting in Him. Right. And so it's, anyways, I just was thinking about how like that psalm, while it doesn't mention faithfulness per se, it's a good picture of it.
It is.
Because life is difficult sometimes and people go through crazy things and there are difficult circumstances. And so, but God never forsakes them because He is faithful. It's who He is. And then, but the psalmist isn't telling them to, in fact, it says like in the psalm, like, don't be afraid because it only leads to vengeance or something like that. And so he's like, don't take action. Go and sit before the Lord, like be quiet before Him. And in those quiet moments, we learn to trust Him. And in turn, God displays His faithfulness to us. So anyways, that's one of the things that I was thinking about when we were thinking about it. So in conclusion, is there anything else you want to share on faithfulness that we did not hit on?
Let me just say this one thing. I think it's one of the biggest things we can do for each other is, you were talking before about what do you do when you're in that place where it's all of a sudden things are falling apart and you don't know, you know. Well, as I said, I think it's a tough time. It's a flood of many waters. It's tough to seek the Lord. But the other side of it is this. We all have a chance to learn the faithfulness of God, and each of us learns it in a different way. I mean, in different circumstances. And we have an enormous opportunity to help each other out in the tough times by recounting to the person who is in trouble how God met you. That testimony to God's faithfulness, I think it's part of the speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. It's our job to lift up the brothers by telling them, He proved Himself to me here, and I met Him there, and in those in that interaction, Spirit of God can strengthen your brother. So it's important.
You
to
mentioned
be aware of it.
The story of you and Mama when you were guys going through that difficult patch of, and like Lord met you that one day when she was really struggling, and He met her that day that you were struggling, and you never both. Struggling on the same day, and that you could encourage each other.
The big thing to have someone beside you who can pick you up and remind you, when you're hitting the wall, that God, He'll take care of us.
Yeah,
and it was an interesting experience. Neither one of us, we didn't hit the bottom at the same time. We didn't hit the wall at the same time. That's God's goodness. So, amen.
That goes back to faithfulness because God's goodness is both consistent, or His character is both consistent, but it's also good, and that is what faithfulness is. Amen. So, thank you for listening to this podcast on faithfulness. And next week, we're going to be talking about prayer and going into what is it, maybe how does it work, kind of combining the two. As always, you can listen to all of our previous episodes as well as so much more on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and YouTube. Make sure to follow us across our social channels, including Facebook, Instagram, and X. And until then, may the Lord bless you, and we'll see you again next week.